Denmark must be fortunate in its security against such dangerous criminals, says she. In Strakens, we find it prudent to take sterner measures against these orators. Schwerin, I hold you responsible. Let me hear presently that they have been arrested and punished.
It would have sounded pompous from a bench of bishops. From a 19-year-old girl it was ridiculous, but I kept a straight face. I was learning fast about my little Irma, an imperious young piece. I found myself hoping that she would be thwarted of her vengeance on my big-headed revolutionary. Whoever he was, he'd look the kind of likely lad who would sooner spar with the peelers than eat his dinner, and keep things lively all round. When she'd sent Schwerin packing and her ladies had adjusted invisible flaws in her appearance, we proceeded with tremendous ceremony to the great ballroom, where the brilliant throng had already assembled for the reception. This is a bigger do than old Morrison gave for Elspeth and me in Paisley, thinks I, but I'll wager they can't drink more than those Scotch rascals did. The place was a blaze of splendid uniforms and gowns. Orders, medals, and jewellery twinkled everywhere. Aristocratic backs bent, and 100 skirts rustled in curtsies as we took our place on the dais for the guests to file by with their respectful congratulations. You never saw such a pack of noble toadies in your life, smirking their way past. They all fawned over the Duchess, of course, the square heads clicking their heels and bowing stiffly, the dagos bending double. So we had a fine selection from half the countries in Europe. After all, Duchess Irma was the cousin of our own Britannic Majesty, which made me a sort of cousin-in-law to her and Albert, I suppose. And everyone wanted to have a grovel to us. I was delighted to see, though, that the British ambassador confined himself to a jerky little bow and a "Felicitations, ma'am, and much happiness to both your highnesses." That's a style, thinks I. Good old England, and damn all foreigners. I just stood there, nodding me head up and down until my neck creaked, smiling and murmuring my thanks to each passing face. Fat, thin, sweating, straining, smiling, adoring. They came in all sizes and expressions. And then Detchard's voice behind me whispered, "Hansen!" And I glanced sharply to see a fair-haired, long-jawed young fellow just straightening up from his bow to the Duchess. He turned to me, smiling expectantly, and in my sudden nervousness I took a step forward, grinning like a death's head, I shouldn't wonder, grabbed him by the hand and cried, "Eric, old friend, this is the most springing surprise of my happy day," or something equally garbled. I know that I bungled the words hopelessly, but he just laughed and pumped my hand. "Dear Carl, Highness, I had to come to wish you joy." He had that manly, sentimental look, misty-eyed, yet smiling, which I personally can only manage in drink. "God bless you both. God bless you too, old friend," says I, ringing hard at him. And then his smile faded. A puzzled look came into his eyes, and he stepped back. God knows I've had my bad moments, but seldom such a qualm of sickening dread as I experienced then. I kept my aching grin, because I was so paralyzed with panic that I couldn't move a muscle, waiting for the denunciation, which I was certain was on his lips. For a second he stared, and then he made a sudden, nervous gesture of apology and smiled again. "Pardon," he said. "Your pardon, Highness. Carl,